guys. What is up? Welcome back to Gals on the Go podcast. It's Brooke, and I have some special guests on this week's episode. This is going to be a fun episode with my mom and my dad. I really don't want the intro to be too long because we get into some really interesting topics, just stuff about my parents that I encourage you guys all, if you have the opportunity, to sit down with your parents to talk about. Nothing like crazy. I don't know, just like about how they raised us, and about their relationship when they were younger, life advice, stuff like that. And it's just so special that I'm able to have this recorded and share it with all of you guys today. I know you guys really like my parents. Speaking of my parents, we have my mom sitting with me right now. She is going to help me out with our business of the week.
Business of the week.
I'm so excited. Thank you for asking. Brooke literally kind of, you know, sideswiped me and was like, hey, I was thinking about this business of the week. And I was like, oh my God, I would love to help.
I know, because you were sharing how passionate you were about this brand. I know that you guys kind of delved into some of their products when I wasn't home a few weeks ago. So do you want to share a little bit about them? What's the business called?
So the business is Lush Yummies Pie Co. And I'll spell it for you guys later, but it's exactly what it sounds like. Lush Yummies Pie Co. And I have to say, it's a fourth generation pie company, or I should say fourth generation recipe. And so you guys that do know me for a while know that I am in the baking business and have been literally for over 30 years. And I'm going to go on record and no, not sponsored whatsoever. I feel like I have to say, Brooke. Totally not sponsored. In fact, Jennifer has no idea that I'm even speaking about her company here. But I had the pleasure of chatting with Jennifer and tasting her signature lemon butter. And no, that's not my New York accent. It is butter, B-U-T-T-A, pie recipe or pie. And yes, I'm going to go down in the books here and say maybe the best pie I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
Crazy. That good.
Okay. So where can everybody find it?
So I guess, you know, I didn't mention this to Jennifer that we were going to be doing this. But I guess you could just go visit her website. Would be nice if one day she was going to join me on QVC. But again, we're far away from that. So visit her website. It's lushyummiespie.co. So it's L-U-S-H. Yummies pie, pie.co.
Great. So go check her out. We will also have that linked, of course, in our show notes. And I think without further ado, we are going to nix like a big intro this week, because I just want you guys to hear this fun conversation with my mom and dad. And I'm once again so thankful to have them on, and I hope you guys enjoy. Okay, guys, we are here sitting live with my mom and dad together. Do you guys want to say hi?
Hi. Hello, everybody. Happy holidays.
Oh, that's nice. Oh,
that's very nice. He added an S to the end.
Well, oh, that's the big debate. Do we say happy holiday or holidays?
No, it's holidays. Isn't it multiple holidays coming?
That's what I say.
It is. But the song that whoever sings that's very famous is Happy Holiday.
Okay. I feel like this multiple holiday. Why are you shoving the microphone in my face?
No, you need to get closer together, guys. I feel like we need intimacy.
I feel like there's multiple holidays coming. That's why you would say that.
I agree.
Like, yeah. It's Kwanzaa.
New Year's?
Yeah.
Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's four back to back. Anyways, next year we determined Hanukkah's in, it's November 28th to December 6th.
So yes. It's early. It's not late.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
November 28th is basically Thanksgiving.
When is Thanksgiving next year?
January.
Everything's backwards next year.
That's good.
November 25th. Wow. So that's very close. You guys got to get the Hanukkah.
Well, I'm letting you guys know. I feel like every year I'm like, Hanukkah's delayed.
Every year.
A couple of days, but we'll make up for it. It's delayed.
No, it's always great. I'm so excited to have you guys on today. So if you guys don't know, if you're a listener of the pod, whatever, I've had my mom and dad on separately, and they're both pretty popular episodes. So congrats to you. Nice work.
Thanks.
I don't want to boost their egos too much. Especially
Which one
mom.
Was higher rated, though?
Ooh.
Mine, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. No, we had my dad on earlier this year. My mom has been, you've been on like two or maybe even four times now. It's been a few, right?
I think so. Yeah. Because didn't we do one from PA?
Yeah.
We did like a bachelor one or something.
Yeah. And then we've done two here, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe twice or three times, whatever it is. So you guys have been together for a long time. So I would love to, if people don't know, a popular question was how you guys met. Just the story. I feel like the story of your lives and how you met is like the same freaking thing because you met when you were like five.
It's almost boring at this point.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's like a psychological exam that they keep asking us. So we want to see if the story
his
changes.
His name was Todd.
No, his name was Todd who set us up.
Yes. I said that in last time we spoke about it. I felt like I was pretty, you know, clear about the way we met, but did you have a question about it? Like, was I wrong on something? As far as we met in the comments? No, we didn't meet in the comments. We were kind of set up.
No. Let me tell you what the difference that we have. It was the first date. You're convinced that I went to the bathroom and I asked you to order for me.
Oh, you totally did.
No, I didn't. That's how you remember it.
Where was the first date?
Which is the real only difference in opinion that we ever have. Not on our story of how we met in high school.
That's a clear story.
Yeah, that was our first date, or that was the first time we went to like a dinner or something?
It was like our first date out, yeah. Like our first restaurant.
You asked me to order for you.
I definitely did not ask you to order for me.
That's so cringy.
It's weird.
Ew.
How did I say this if it wasn't true?
Why?
You didn't go to the bathroom and do it. You just sat there and like, you were either shy or embarrassed. And you're like, you can order for me.
I do not remember.
Who taught you to do that?
I swear I don't remember this.
Like, whoa, I never ordered for anyone. I could barely order for myself.
I hated that. You know when you go to dinner with your friends and like, I remember my friends used to be shy and they'd be like, order for me. I'm like, speak up. Like,
yeah, I'm embarrassed that maybe I'm just so embarrassed to think that I would have said that.
You blocked it out of your memory.
Yes, that I'm blocking it out. Okay, all right.
So why are you questioning?
And that's so unlike you.
That's the difference. I know. That's what.
So off-brand. Yeah.
That's why I question it. It's a very, very off-brand.
You were different.
Okay. But we did.
I first saw you at the pizza place that we both worked at.
But Mom doesn't recall this.
Which at the time was... Was it Ralph's Pizza or was it already?
No, it was already.
It was, yeah. So I worked there when it
What's
was
it
Ralph's
called?
Pizza.
It was already.
It was Ralph's Pizza and then it transitioned to Gourmet Pizza.
Yes. Tony,
Mike, and all those guys. Yes. Yeah, I don't remember their last name.
It's like their daughters listen to Brooke.
That would be cool.
I'm trying to think of his name, but. Yeah, so I saw you there, and it was like one of my last days. And I think I detailed this on the last time that I was on, and the only other time I was on the podcast, we talked about it. And I was getting ready to go to two-a-days, which is like two practices a day for football in like 10th or 11th grade. Mm-hmm. So it was like my last time that I was working. It was like a, you know, end of summer.
Okay.
No, it was end of summer.
I thought it was like middle.
Yeah, maybe middle of summer. Right, so it was around then. This is a long time ago, so...
They're like 15, 16. They were,
you were 1985.
Springsteen, Madonna, way before Nirvana. 1985, that's the song.
Yeah, so it was one of my last times working there, and they were looking to bring, like, get more employees, and you came in with your mother. And I didn't know who you were, but I saw you, and I remember you wearing a long sweater.
She does remember.
And it was August. Yes,
you were wearing a long like sweater, but it was like a sweater jacket.
I was one of those people that if I had it set in my mind that I was going to wear something, it didn't matter if like my first day of school outfit, I remember vividly at going to high school in my first day of school outfit that I bought. Like I went, right? Because I worked.
You picked it out,
did everything myself. And I was like, come hell or high water, I'm wearing this outfit. And as my mom would say, P.S., it was like 95 degrees out. Yes. And I still I wore it and I didn't care.
You remember staring at me?
No, this was
no,
the first
I'm
day.
I'm talking about my first day of high school.
You don't remember seeing him at the pizza place, though.
I don't know. I mean, I was trying to get a job. Like, you know, you're nervous. So I was filling out an application and like I was nervous. So I don't really remember a lot of that.
Folding boxes.
And
Grandma went in there with you.
I guess. I was young, though.
She was like your manager.
Yeah. She still is. And I'm Brooks.
Yeah. Not actually.
So no, that's when we first met, but then we...
No, that's when I first saw you.
First saw me. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So then I don't know how it happened, but then I was somehow with Todd.
I guess you worked with Todd at Consumers.
Another place.
Wow, you had a lot of jobs, Dad.
Yeah. And then I saw him.
Well, this was like this was the winter of 86.
Was he friends with Jenny, maybe?
He was friends with me.
No, but I'm saying, was he friends with Jenny? And then I knew that. And I
something
about one of Jenny's friends, whatever, which happened to be you. And he's like, I know her. He goes, you come over, come with me, you know, this week. One night, and we'll go by your house, and I'll tell that you're going to come by. And do you remember he went?
And that's what did. Yes. So he came by. Yeah. And remember what he did? So he drove by. And remember, we had no cell phones. It was I knew Todd was there when he pulled up in his Trans Am and he honked the horn. And I came running outside. It was very, you know, different times. And I came running outside like it was no biggie, like it was just him. And then there's Sal in the car. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like embarrassed and all that. But I had to, you know, play it cool. And then he's like, oh, you know, this is my friend Sal, whatever. And he's like, oh, let's get out of the car and hang out and talk. And then he ran back in the car and he's like, I'll be back in a little while. Remember? And he left the
Sal
alone.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun.
Well, shout out to Todd.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't hear from him or know
what. No, and we do owe it to him. He was our setup guy.
Yeah. Good guy. He was a good friend of mine, you know, growing up, like through elementary school and whatever. But you lose touch with people.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you want to. It just happens. You know, he was a nice guy.
Oh, he was a really nice guy. His mother was a single mom.
Yeah.
He lost his father at a young age. Like, he had a rough, you know, time
of
it.
Gosh.
I think his father had like a heart attack when we were in like third or fourth grade.
Oh, my gosh.
In class, right? Didn't they like call him or something?
They were like at dinner, having like dinner. And I think he had like a heart attack.
Stop.
Yeah, it was crazy. And he was like in my class at the time. He missed a bunch of days. Then he came back and I was like, we were all just, it was really dramatic, you know, especially being like in third or fourth grade.
Yeah.
And this happens.
Yeah. And I feel like back then that stuff never happened. It wasn't. Thank God.
I was too young. And
oh my gosh. All right. Well,
all right. So anyway, so yeah, so that's
that. And then we just kind of furthered that through school. And I used to see you in the commons, whatever. And
the commons are like this big, other schools don't have it. So like to explain what it is.
It's a common place. It's
just like the center of the school, essentially. That's like what I describe it as.
The main hub.
The main hub. And then there's technically, it's not like unofficial though, but I guess it is official.
It's called the commons. That's what it was.
But then there's the wells.
Oh.
So then there's like the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior well. And of course the freshman's like a couple of benches pushed together. And then like the senior one is like loaded out in like different spots and whatever.
Yeah. Like I think at one time it almost had like a fireplace.
Yes, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there is. They don't light it, but
back in the day.
They used to light it?
We were, Brooke, when we were at high school, there was a smoking section.
Oh, that is
right behind the senior well. Like, literally.
Now they just go in the bathroom and vape and get kicked out.
Yeah.
Because they see the smoke in the bathroom.
So different.
They have a sign-in sheet in the bathroom now.
Yeah. Really?
Like, pre-corona, they did that. Yeah. Sal had to sign in to use the bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very different times now, considering what it used to be. That's so crazy. So it's a really cool story. And because they went to the high school, you guys grew up in like this area, town, whatever. We've bopped around a lot. We've moved to a bunch of different houses and whatnot, but I went to the schools that you guys went to, which is pretty cool.
You went to the schools that I went to.
Yeah, she went to Daddy's school. And my school, they're going to close now, my elementary. So sad.
But I guess you didn't go to technically that middle school, but they're changing everything around now. But anyways, yeah, we went to the same schools, which is...
Pretty much. Yeah.
Did you intend... That's actually a really good question, which I never asked you guys. Was it like when you guys were together and like you realized you were like having a future together, was it any question? Because I know Dad... Well, both of you have family from here that have moved away, or Dad has family now that they're on other parts of Long Island. Like, was it any question of, hey, we're going to move to another town? Or
no, it's a good question. I actually thought that it would be a lot more convenient for us to move to like Douglaston or get into Queens or to go someplace that was kind of in between where we both worked and home. But really,
we never did it.
We couldn't because childcare, like, you know, grandma used to watch you. And that was our main source of help. Was grandma. She lived in East Northport, and I didn't want her to have to travel to come and help us with childcare. So it was like, you know, mom had to drive to New Jersey. I had to drive to New York City, and we just drove a lot, and we just made it so it was more convenient for who was ever going to help us. Mm-hmm. But it would have been a lot easier to move away, but
because you worked in the city and mom worked in New Jersey, driving around at the time.
It just would have cut down on the commute, totally. And made probably life a lot easier that way. But then we wouldn't have had, you know, our family. And that's really kind of was a mm-hmm. pretty big priority for us, right?
Yeah, it was a big priority, a huge priority for you, and I commend you for that.
Because grandma had already moved away. My mom's mom had already moved away.
And daddy was pretty insistent on not hiring help. I would have hired someone, truth being told.
But it would have had to be more than, because I had babysitters and stuff like that, but it would have been had to be
a more permanent position, a nanny or an au pair. Gotcha. We would have need true help.
Because my dad was working overnight.
I just didn't want to have somebody I had guys that I worked with that had au pairs and.
Yeah.
And they said it was the greatest thing. Uh-huh. They would hire somebody that would come in. It would almost be part of the family. They would come and live with them.
Yep.
And they would maybe be off on the weekends or whatever. And they said it was a great thing. And it was pretty cost effective, you know, it was probably cheaper than doing regular daycare where you bring your kid to a place.
Why did daycare?
But I just didn't like the idea of having somebody live with me. I just thought that was intrusive to have somebody in your house, even though it's okay, you can, you know, you're done for the night. And then they're still at your house. You have to have a room for them or whatever. I just felt, I don't know. I still don't even think I would do that. As much as it sounds like a nice thing, hey, I'll just hire somebody to watch my kids.
Totally. I get it. Well, you had a relationship in place with your parents that, I mean, I would assume if I lived near you guys would want to take care of my, I
totally. That's
in 10 years or whatever.
That's kind
it
of
is.
The way it works, right?
Yeah.
Well, you'll do the same for yours.
Yeah.
You help. If you're not going to help your family, then who are you going to help? What's the purpose?
No, I agree. So being that I'm around though, because I understand who knows where you guys will be? Don't you want to retire in Florida or whatever? Then what? Do I move to Florida too? How does that work?
I guess that's why you alter your plans, right? I mean,
I guess.
Maybe you say, I'd really like to go to Florida, but I'm only going to go to Florida for a few months or a few weeks as opposed to going permanently because you still want to be
around.
Yeah, you still want to be around your family because.
Versus grandma, who we call my mom's mom, who's literally her name in my phone and everything is Grandma Florida.
Yes. Now it's Grandma Maine.
Because she lives in Maine now. Yeah, so I get it. We kind of grew up with both then, because I had the local grandparents and then the
right.
But we used to see Grandma Florida a lot though.
Yeah, she would. I mean, but do trips and Grandma stuff. Took care of you, so
totally.
It was great.
And Grandpa. Yeah,
I know we say Grandma, but both of obviously Grandpa too. Grandpa actually was running around doing all this stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, Grandma was cooking.
Yeah. No. Well, or remember when they would your mom would send. Your father out to get Wendy's for Brooke and Sal.
We would love it.
Yeah.
We just said,
I think it would be kind of nice to actually watch the grandkids and sort of have a schedule and be okay, you know, that Tuesday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday this week, you're going to do it. But it could also be overwhelming too. I think of fast forwarding 10 years to when Brooke and Sal have kids and it's okay, you know, we have to go and watch the kids. Brooke's leaving for work at 6 o'clock in the morning and I have to get over there and, you know, watch them. And it's every day, I'm just calling it out now. I am not doing that every day. I am willing to help. And if you guys want to go out to dinner, which you should do, that's fantastic. But to do it every day for an extended period of time, that's a lot. And I actually saw my mother age over that time because I felt it was a lot for her.
We never had her every day.
No.
I'm saying I did over daycare. The process of watching you and then Sal and then remember Andrew and Luke,
my cousins.
And then sometimes she would have to watch, you know.
It's a lot to ask
sometimes
someone.
She would watch Emily and she would watch Philip and Dana in between there. And we had a steady thing with her. Hey, you're helping us out.
That's crazy.
But also I was somebody that stayed in East Northport and I stayed very involved in their lives. And I was and
totally
I made it so I lived down the road at one point from them. We bought a house down the road from them to make it very convenient. So you give, you know, you have to give a little bit too.
Agreed. No,
so if you said you were going to go live in Manhasset, which is awesome. If you wanted to go live in Manhasset, that would be good. But that would also
I wouldn't see you every day.
No, it would put a cramp on.
You'd get us one day a week.
Yeah.
It would put a cramp on you having, you know, help with childcare. Sure, would we help? Yes. But could we help as much? No. It wouldn't be hey, I'm going out, you know, at 6 o'clock tonight. Can you come over for an hour or so? It's going to take me an hour just to get there.
Right. Or I have an important business call.
Yeah. Well, you guys, for reference, of how much that they worked and stuff, which now your jobs are way more, both of you accommodating, obviously, because dad's retired and mom work from home slash she didn't have to travel as much, because there was a period in there where you were traveling how many days a year? Nine.
Oh yeah, like I mean, there was basically times when I was in Florida that I would have spent half the year, the amount of days in Florida between, not necessarily full days, but between travel days.
And I used to do,
right?
So grandma would watch me. We obviously had Miss Holly, the babysitter. We have to check in on her.
I follow her on Facebook. She's great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I did, is it called Scope? But then I did the thing after Scope. So Scope was like after school, but this wasn't when I was in elementary school. Now there was Scope, but then there was like the later, like the late one where like some people, lot of people did Scope, but then the later one I remember was like even less. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What was it called? I forget.
I think Scope was,
but then it went into like a bonus hour or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like extra hour, and you had to pay for that. And it was a lot more money. And
no, but you guys were busy with work. So yeah. I remember we did that.
And the problem was, although a fireman's schedule is amazing, it's also very hard to do daycare because it doesn't, they don't start and end at the right times. You know, like if you work in like a 24-hour shift or you work a night tour or a day tour, that the hours don't really coincide with like a, you know, a 9-to-5 job. Like you have to be there quite early and then you get off late. And it was hard with daycare. It wasn't just like you could go to school, like somebody could bring you to school in the morning. Then I would pick you up at 5 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it would I wouldn't necessarily get there till 7 o'clock at night. So that's the problem with that was the problem that we had, that if mom traveled and she was away and I had to work or we had to get daycare,
mm-hmm.
it just made it a little bit more complicated because I wasn't getting out of work at at 5 o'clock.
Totally.
You know, it was later and then I had to travel back from the city. So that's why we needed to have grandma
additional
grandma
help. Well, someone had to pick me up. Yeah. Otherwise, who's picking me up?
Like, hey, can you just help out for 2 or 3 hours at the end of the day on Tuesday?
Yeah. And they lived right near the elementary school.
I mean, one of the things that and I think that this could kind of segue into anything else that you're going to ask us. There had to have always been massive communication mm-hmm. in our relationship because everything was a schedule. Yeah. Everything we did.
Now, I've actually said this, and I say this to younger guys that were firemen that were coming up after me, guys that work for me in firehouses, and mm-hmm. they were having kids. I said, the most stressful time for me was the planning of daycare.
Wow.
Yes. It always was because it was very hard. Of course, my wife
traveled.
Is it like
a sign-up sheet?
My what?
Is it like a sign-up sheet daycare? Where? Like, how does that, how do you determine, like, I thought it's just like a thing, like, oh, she's in daycare. Or no, you have to pick?
Yeah, so you choose. So there's, you. If you're talking about your regular daycare, like Island Kids. Like
yeah.
Yes.
Elementary school, like that.
Yeah.
So I can tell you, I can tell you what also dictates.
It's like buying something. You have to, you go to a place and you pay and you have to find the.
Like per day you pay?
So you pay, you pay per day. Like in our case, it was like you could go to school Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You go to school Tuesday, Thursday, or you could go Monday through Friday. And quite honestly, I think we have no problem admitting this. We couldn't afford every day.
No, it was expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, it's expensive. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, we totally couldn't.
Some people literally would have their kid go to daycare and like one of the spouses, their salary would just cover the daycare.
Stop.
If you were lucky.
It's that expensive.
I want to say.
Yes.
I don't remember, but you went 3 days a week and it was, I'd say, at least $500.
Oh, it was more than a car payment.
Oh my gosh.
At the time.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
For us back then, it was an awful lot.
That's why I was able to move my schedule around and know that, okay, she's going to be in daycare on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Like I have to like,
I was going to, sorry, I cut you off about the firefighter conversation about work.
But I'm saying for me, I was able to mentally plan it out and say, okay, I know that she's going to be in school those days and mom could help those days. So I'll work on Tuesday and Thursday. I can be gone all day, you know, or I need to be home on Tuesday and Thursday because those are the days that the kids are going to be off and I'm going to, you know, spend the day with you and whatever. And that's just, so that's my point is, it's costly and it's challenging doing the, you know, child care and finding it and paying for it.
Totally paying for it. I mean, that was our.
I knew it was expensive. I didn't know it was that. Well, now with inflation.
Legitimately, like we could be honest and say like coming up with that sometimes on the first of the month was like
a challenge.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, we have to pay daycare is due. Like,
I have to think it's probably still the same. I mean, this is how many years later, but you see all these places pop up now that look like they're very nice. They're in brand new buildings. Like, what is that? Kitty Academy. And
oh, yeah.
These and they look like really nice, you know, and they usually seem to be in convenient locations, like they're on the way to the highway or next to an exit on a highway or whatever. And or they're just right in your local town. But I'm sure that they're probably costly. If they're brand new buildings and they have, you know, good people inside them teaching the kids and watching the kids, it's got to be expensive.
And where when you went, the younger you were, the more expensive it was.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember? Like, in other words, if they had to like change your diapers versus you were like, you know, going in, you know, raising your hand and going to use the bathroom, it's a difference. Yeah.
Damn. I knew it was expensive. Well, you guys are the best. And it really, I guess we can go into that because we had a family where both of you worked. So it was truly like a balancing act of all of that stuff. So I guess going into that, and you guys said that you were both, obviously, I feel like you guys have gone through phases where you're both really busy. And then like now, like life is, knock on wood, like calm down kind of for our family. Like it seems like because mom's working from home and whatnot. So what would you say through thick and thin are the successful marriage tips? Obviously, you guys have been together married for under 25, right? It's like 20.
No, we've been married 28.
Oh, shoot.
So Okay. Together 33.
I always get the two confused because whatever. I'm like.
It's going to be 29 years this year.
30, you'll have to do something. Oh, yeah, because 30, you want to do something big.
Yeah, we're planning a big trip.
Yes.
Hopefully.
So what would you say are or just successful relationship tips? I know some people don't want to get married. So just like being,
Well, I think the basis of it is you have to actually like the person. Which is true. I think if you probably talk to a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people.
Unfortunately, many though.
They just, at the end of the day, probably just don't really like their spouse. Well, they grew not to like their spouse.
Mm.
Whereas mom and I were friends for quite some time before that we even got engaged. Before we had kids, we had a long period of time where we were literally like best friends. And even when we first met, our friends used to joke around about it because we would always be together. And like we didn't spend all that much time with our own friends by ourselves once we met each other.
Oh, you guys were those people? I didn't know that. Ugh.
And it happens.
At least it worked out for you too.
Yeah, no, we were those people, but it was also different. Remember, I was a year younger than Daddy. So we had different, we didn't have a meshed friend group.
Yeah, that's true.
Different.
I never thought about that.
Okay.
So because of that, we were those people.
Okay.
Yes.
No shade.
But we also weren't together from ninth grade on. We were already in high school. So by the time that whole period, once we got into like college years, then we were able to basically be together all the time. Because then your friends go off to college, they come back, mm-hmm. you know, and things kind of change a little bit. But yeah. So I think that's it. And I found that most recently, the thing that works best for us, or for me, I should say, is having alone time, meaning going out to dinner, not with other couples, which is also nice to do, but that's, you don't really get to just be alone with your, you know, husband or wife that way.
So you don't mean alone, you mean couple time.
I mean, couple time. Yeah.
Well, you said, because when you say you need alone time, that means like I would give you space to go do your.
No, I mean alone.
You mean a couple, alone couple time.
Yes.
Okay.
So in other words, what we mean is that, as of late, we've been like trying to.
We've always done that, but it just seems like then there were times when we were going out to dinner with other couples a lot. And it seems like through the pandemic, now we've kind of scaled that back so much that now we're by ourselves and we're doing it. And that's very enjoyable. And you really get to like. You know, you really get to be with the person. You can't avoid it.
Yeah.
And I will say that that's like a perk of Corona. Exactly that we don't, because we're not socializing, we're together. And yes.
But you guys are also really fortunate because like Dad said, you like each other.
We thrive together, actually.
It could have went, you know, and I think that's something that's probably happening to a lot of other couples is where they're like, wow, this really, and we see it with some of our friends and you hear stories where it's just not working out. Like they're like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this relationship.
Yeah. Like, and I could even see it. Like, I find it so odd where I see if we are socializing, even if it's another, just couple of couples where you could see that they really don't like each other. Like they almost talk behind each other's backs. And like Daddy will come back and tell me stories of his side. And then I'll tell him stories of the girl's side.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing?
So that's why going back to communication, you guys don't like hold secrets or whatever. Like you pretty much operate as a open door. What would you say?
Not to. That doesn't really work well.
Yeah.
Especially when you've been together a long time. It's.
Yeah. Anytime you keep a secret, then if you don't even mean to keep it as a secret and it doesn't get out, then it makes it
seem like you're hiding something.
It never works out well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's something, it's like, oh, it's really not that important, but it might sound like you were keeping a secret. It's like, no, I just didn't think much of it, and I didn't think that you would care. And then I'm like, why didn't you tell me? But a lot of times it's just, you almost just forget to tell, you know?
Yeah.
But we don't really have those issues. I mean, also, Mom works from home. I'm kind of working from home, too, so there really can't really be any secrets. We're with each other 24/7, pretty much.
And I have a rough time using my inside voice.
Oh,
she likes
it. If you guys watch my vlogs, you know, when I'm trying to vlog in the kitchen, I'm like, sorry, guys, you hear Mom in the back. Ah, like,
yeah, or a vault that she could have as an office
with the big doors that close and whatnot. Yeah, well, that was a good.
But also, you have bonus tips. You have to work at it. No, because you mentioned something about this like prior about like tips. And I just say, you know, it's. Even when you really jive with the person that you're with, you have to work at it. You can't take it for granted. You have to really, really make a point of working at it. You know, as far as you agree.
Of course I agree.
Yeah. You have to make a point of working at it and saying, wow, I have to listen. This might not even be something that I want to listen to. Like if you're telling me something and I have to be like, okay, I really have to listen to this because it's obviously important to you. It might not be important to me, but as a result, I'm listening, saying, okay, this is important to her. I have to really cue in on this, you know?
That's sweet. I think that's important to do. And, like, validating others' interests and stuff. But, yeah, I see that in a lot of couples that they don't really, like, care for each other or have, like, passion for, like, what the other person does. Which you guys always say. You're like, it's so important that you find someone that is, like, genuinely, like, interested in you and your work and, like, whatever. Because I've definitely struggled with that. Or even if I'm, like, people that I've dated and stuff that I'm like, do you even care about like what?
Yeah, you're going to find the right person, but it's nothing that you could force or
totally
or will to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to take time. You have to be patient and find the right person.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear the proposal story. A lot of people wanted to hear.
What was the name of that restaurant? And is it still there?
It was in a office building.
What?
In Hopog.
Random.
Yeah.
La Fama something.
Was it like your favorite place or
it
what?
It was a real nice restaurant. Yeah. And we were on like one of.
In Hopog.
Yes, I said it in Hopog. And we.
Yeah. Okay.
And we sat in one of those like circular booths.
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, so I had a plan that I was going to give you the ring, that I was going to give you the ring there. And I think you might have went to the bathroom and I got the waiter and I told him what I was going to do and I gave him the ring and then he was going to bring it out at dessert.
Yeah.
In a box?
No, I had no idea.
Did you get on your knees?
I did.
Yeah.
Did everyone in the restaurant stop and do the clapping and whatever?
I was so nervous. I didn't remember what happened. I was just worried about myself.
That's the cringiest part to me is like then everyone around you is like, you have to say the right thing.
I think people around us knew what was going on. But okay. It wasn't like the whole place stood up and cheered. No. It was like everybody might, you know, there might have been like the two tables that were near us. It was very quiet.
Okay.
Kind of refined restaurant, you know,
ooh.
Probably.
It was.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It seems like
probably
it was
too refined for me to be in, you know. Like it was it was definitely above, you know, our grade, but.
But we had been there before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the known place. Like if you had, like if you wanted to go
like
for
a celebration
occasion
oh, that's
or
cool.
whatever. Like it was really like next level, like really nice. And it was really good food and it was known to be that way. And it was set that I told my family and I guess and Mom's family that we were that I was going to do this, that I was going to propose and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't even know that they had anything planned. So we went out to dinner. I proposed. I actually got the waiter came over at dessert, opened up the what is that metal thing called with the lid on it? You know, like it was like
a
serving tray.
Yeah.
He took it off and then I went down on a knee and I asked you. And then the nice part is that when we came home, which was a surprise to me, was that our family was all at my mother's
house. Oh, I love that.
It was the best.
Yeah.
It was the best. And actually,
we had
when we got out to the car, the someone tied balloons to to the mirrors and stuff. Don't you remember?
Wow. That's special.
And then when we got to the house, it was like, it just kept coming and coming, like the goodness. That's
the best. You know, I actually like the way you did that, Dad.
Yeah, it was good.
You have a couple of like times in life where like you really do, especially like being like a little bit of more of a high strung person like I am and like you are, unfortunately, you take after me. There's been a lot of times where I think I've overshadowed happy occasions where Daddy would have even come to me and said, you know, we'll say like, you know, don't be a bitch, like, calm down. Like, you know, you're ruining the moment, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I will say there's like this handful of times in my life that I remember being just like that, like, wow, if I had to like paint the picture of perfectness.
Like your perfect day.
It was, yeah, it was the perfect proposal with the families together.
That was good.
And then the second to that, honestly, would be your Sweet 16.
That was a great memory. Happy memories.
But I was working the other day at Uncle Vincent's house, and we were talking about like the kids getting married and everything. And I think I was almost jokingly asked him, I said, when and if his daughter ever gets married, I said, would you expect this person to come to you and say,
ask? Mom and I just talked about that. That's so funny.
And he's like, huh? He's like, I don't really know. Like, I don't know if that's something that people do. And I said, I think that would be the right thing to do, to ask. I said, don't you think, like,
yeah,
like when Emily got married, I think that
engaged.
He did.
Yeah. So I said, I think that Brian went to Mike, Uncle Mike, yeah, and said, you know, I'd like to marry your daughter.
Yeah.
And this and that. And I think Mike was like, yeah, sure, like whatever.
Yeah.
But I would kind of expect that to happen.
I
think it would be weird if they both came over and say, hey, we got engaged. And then like both the parents are like, holy shit.
Yeah. Like surprise. Yeah.
We have no idea. You know, yeah, we have no idea. But maybe like, is it more acceptable if you're older in life and you get married? Like, is it, should you not ask?
Yeah.
Or it just seems like a nice thing to do.
I totally agree.
I agree.
And Daddy did. Daddy asked my
I completely agree. And I would want my person to do that. But I also, there's a lot of like issues that people have with like the notion of marriage and kind of like the father like giving up the daughter and like whatnot. Like, so I think that whole like stereotype comes into it. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people nowadays, like it's a big like modern thing of like, yes, like I kind of want you both to walk me down the aisle and not just dad. Like I would love it if both of you, I mean, I'm like playing for
that's what Jewish people do.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That, yeah. Totally. I've never been to a proper wedding though, actually. So here I am. You know what I mean? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like that traditional and like the whole thing is like you wear white because it's innocent. And like it's like this whole like production and it's kind of like old school rituals.
Yeah.
So like the modern notion. I agree. But I see it less as the like give me your daughter and more of like I would love like I love your daughter for XYZ reasons. Like I want to do this.
All right. So then.
Yeah.
Maybe then not go just to the dad, but maybe
the parents
get the time and the parents are there and say, hey, listen, this is what I'd like to do. I hope that you'll give me your blessing, whatever that blessing may be.
Yes, I completely agree.
Do that. Yeah. But I also felt like there was a weird thing if we're talking about stuff like that was like when we got married and I had to pick my wedding party, you know, and I was very fortunate to have a lot of friends and all that stuff, but I actually kept it small and I had my two brothers. They were both my, what do you call it?
Best.
They were?
Yes. I didn't want to have to choose because I felt that it would be like sliding either one
it
of
would
them
be.
To do so. You know, because they were both older and special to me. And I was like, wow, if I pick one, you can't help but to hurt the other one's feelings.
Totally. Were you both theirs?
I was neither of theirs.
Oh.
They were each other's. But they were much older than me. So they kind of like, it would have been weird if they would have picked me. And like, there was so much age difference. I felt that it was acceptable for them to pick each other. And because it's like, well, he's, you know, he's 10, 13, 15 years younger than us. You know, like,
yeah,
it was acceptable. Am I wrong?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about your brother is 13 years older than you. I mean,
that's a significant age gap.
Yeah, and they were pretty close in age. So they were close in age. But I guess that was a...
So they were each other's.
They were each other's, yeah.
Hmm. That makes sense. Okay.
I just had both of them because they were both equally, you know, like close with both of them. But I remember people saying that was like a little bit weird. But for me, I'm like, I didn't care if it was weird. That's what I wanted to do.
That's one of my biggest stresses in life is who's going to be my maid of honor because I don't have a sister and everyone that I've talked to, literally, I didn't even realize that I guess all my friends have sisters because I was like, who's going to be yours? They're like, my sister or both my sisters. And I'm like, it's like, oh my gosh, damn. Like, will one of you volunteer? Like, I know that they will, but then I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And,
right.
But apparently it's a big responsibility, that role.
It is. I guess it is. I mean, I've never been a best man.
I've really?
Been the best man, but I've been in a lot of wedding parties.
Not even your George? You were
no.
Ah.
Oh.
George couldn't make a decision on anybody, so he had five of us.
Oh.
So he just had us all be equal.
Wait, I kind of like that.
No, it was cool. It was cool because no one gets slighted that way. Because if he did pick somebody else, I would have been offended.
Yeah, Mom, you were never a maid of honor, were you?
No, right?
When Grandma got remarried, did she have a?
Yeah, I guess you know.
Did they had a party and stuff, right?
Yeah, we had like just a dinner. We did the wedding at our house.
Oh, that's cute. Nice. Interesting. I think it's interesting to learn about wedding stuff. Like I said, never been to a wedding, but I guess that's just the way.
Oh, I'm so excited to go to Emily's wedding.
Oh, next year. Yeah, that will be so much fun.
That'll be like the first family wedding, really, right?
Yeah, that's going to be really fun.
Uh-huh. The only one that I've ever been to is when my like Spanish teacher got married. We didn't go to the wedding. We went to like the church part because it was like, wasn't it right here? It was like in town.
Wasn't it the one closer to where we used to live?
I remember that, but I was young then. Huh. And in elementary school, when people's teachers got married, they would like, you were invited to like the church part, but not the, of course, like
not
the reception. No.
Yeah.
Open bar. Like, no, of course not. Interesting. Okay, cool. How have you guys kind of like adjusted your relationship after having kids? Because obviously you just said you took long, like many, many years there in between. How many years?
Well, we didn't. We also waited to have kids.
That's what I'm saying.
How, we waited 5 years, and then it was almost another 5 years in between. Right? But it was an adjustment every time. That's why.
No, it was an adjustment. I remember after we had Brooke, and we were getting ready to have, you know, to decide if we wanted to have another, say, kid. Whatever.
Was it a question?
It wasn't a question, but I think it was more of a question. Yeah, it was probably a little bit of a question, but more of a question of when. Because we had waited and waited and waited, and it seemed like it was approaching like 5 years. Mm. And I remember we started going out to dinner again, and we started like socializing and going out. Because you really are, you're kind of hampered by it. It sounds horrible, but...
But that's also because we chose to. You know, we had friends that didn't care. They would get babysitters. They would go out.
It was really a special occasion if we were to go out. Yeah.
And we really did, again, because of our work schedules, because of everything, we took the time to spend together.
Right. Yeah. So I think that I remember where we were driving, and we were like, no, we're going to do this. Like, let's, you know.
Because Sal and I are 4.5 years apart. Yeah. So
I guess we probably started having the conversation three years later, because we didn't have
a pretty big age gap.
And that was another thing. We got pregnant, like basically we decided we were going to try to have Brooke, and we got pregnant right away. Yeah. And Sal took a little bit longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not like a year or two, but months and months versus
interesting.
Right away.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm.
Yeah. So what was the question?
How has your relationship adjusted after having kids? Like, obviously you've said all the things, you know, you have to really like each other and like time and whatever, but I don't know, like parenting together and stuff like that. How have you made the shift and like still kept things like fun and lively? Like I would imagine that's probably the biggest challenge, right?
Yeah.
Or a challenge.
I guess so. I think it's all the things of just being together in general and being on the same page and, like mom said, communication and you know, like if you're not on the same page as far as the way that you want to raise kids and or you know, like I thought, no, you mentioned some stuff about like religion or
things
like that. If you're not on the same page, that's a big problem.
I was going to ask, did you have those discussions, not even just about religion, but just about morals, like how you wanted to raise children, like in your relationship before, like, or was it kind of like, oh, we're pregnant, like now we have to think about those things?
No, I just think it came in general with us being people and who we were and our beliefs that we had going into being with each other. I mean, you know, mom is Jewish and I'm Catholic.
Mm-hmm. But we both don't practice.
We both practice it the same amount.
Which is very little.
Yeah.
So we're definitely on the same page as far as that's concerned.
Which we acknowledge does make it easier, to your point, because if it was one way or the other, well, actually, I shouldn't completely say that, because I know, like, Daddy and I also had an agreement, correct me if I'm wrong, if you felt strongly enough about wanting to raise the kids Catholic, I agreed that I would have done it.
Totally.
I said I would have went to church with you. I would do it all.
You would have to convert and do the whole thing.
But I would have done it. Like, I would have totally have done that, and Daddy the same. But neither one of us felt...
No. We didn't feel strong enough about it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's why it almost sounds like we're just passing the buck I felt that at the time that we would let you guys decide.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some people are going to think it's just
No, this is great.
But it's something where I feel like you guys should make that decision on your
own. But we put, because of what you were saying, we put time and energy into this thought process. We toyed with the notion, or we discussed the idea of, hey, you know, if you felt strongly or I felt strongly or whatever, like even having those simple conversations makes it more a proper decision to let you and your brother decide.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, you'd think that people in your life that don't have an opinion on that, they actually do.
Uh-huh.
And it'd be people that will surprise you, that have never practiced any religion, have never gone to church, have never gone to temple, that will come to you and actually say, you know, you should do this. Like my dad at the time came up to us, I think either before, you know, like before we had you and we were getting ready for this, and he pulled me aside and he's like, hey, you know, I just want you to know, I think that you should be raising the child, you know, like your baby to be,
mm-hmm.
you should be raising him Jewish. And I looked at him and said, why would I do that? And he goes, well, I just feel like...
Which is, just so we're clear, that's my mom's religion.
Right. Totally.
So he hot take here.
And I was like, what's wrong with you? Like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, I just feel like you need to have some sort of religion. And I'm saying, that seems so hypocritical coming from him, who I loved and
yeah, he's the best.
Admired my dad.
Totally.
But I was like, you've never gone to church. I've never seen you practice. We do Easter, we do all these things, mm-hmm. but we do them all as holidays, not through...
We do them more as a celebration and less for the religious
yes.
connotation.
And I was like, yeah. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that.
So as you can imagine, and my father was more religious. My father was more religious than probably any of them. But also never really... They would have liked us, never really had the conversation, I should say, to say they should be raised this way. But they would have loved us even again to pick to raise Catholic. They wanted that generation specifically.
They're big on choosing
would have
one.
Preferred. And note that my parents were a little younger than Daddy's parents, right?
Yeah.
So, but they still, both sets would have preferred. And we had friends at the time. There was definitely, you're in a judgment zone. When you raise your kids, you know, we're going to let them choose. Get ready for the eye roll.
Right. And I would also say that when I went to ask Grandpa, Mom's dad, for Mom's hand in marriage, call it whatever you want. I know that sounds corny.
No, I get it.
When I went to do this, this was like, he was a teacher, principal in a school, and he would get home around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got off work early. Knew he was going to be there. I said, okay, I'm going to go and ask him this. So I had to muster up the courage to go do this. I go over there and I look in the front window and I could see him at like the dining room table.
Yeah.
He's got a yarmulke on and he's praying. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go ask him to do this now. And he's doing this. And I had never seen him do this before ever. So I'm like, oh my God, I didn't have any idea that he was religious, first of all.
Wow.
And he was in there by himself praying. And I was like, wow, this guy's legit. Like he's really into it, but he doesn't tell anybody, which I appreciated. You know, Grandma wasn't home. And
so he was like a silent practicer? Really?
And he didn't go to synagogue or temple ever.
Yes.
So he did it in his home?
Mm-hmm. Huh. I kind of didn't know either.
Yeah, no, he was doing it.
Until Daddy told me.
Wow.
I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah,
so that's where we were coming from with that. Like, and they were both, you know, they were both.
That was, you know what, I will give it to it. That's like also a similar personality trait. Because you just said that like you and my father have.
I was about
to
say, Dad is like that.
Yeah,
he doesn't feel the need to like broadcast it
right,
to
where
everybody.
I am, like,
yes,
it's like I do something good, the world needs to know.
It's going on Facebook.
Horrible.
It's going
by
in a blog.
Way, it's a horrible quality.
I'm the same.
Trait. Horrible. I mean, if I could not be that way, I would in a second. It's actually the most admirable, I think, of all Daddy's
yes.
traits. And when you say it like that about my dad, I'm like, wow, that was pretty good. He was good like that.
Well, thank you guys for sharing that. I mean, it's super interesting. I will say, I do think times are changing because I hear it way more common now. I didn't even know that there is a term. I learned this in the past year when my friend Dean told me that there's a term for what I am. And Sal, we're it's like a joke, obviously. Don't take it too seriously, guys. We're pizza bagels because we're half Jewish, half Italian. Yeah.
I love it. And I do love a pizza bagel, by the way.
Same. I'm crazy.
Daddy
them.
Doesn't. I guess if you're really, if you're Italian,
that's,
you don't
yeah.
eat pizza
no,
bagels.
Yeah.
I love the ones that you could get. Are what are they like? Not Tostinos.
Oh,
what's the brand? Yeah.
Yeah. What are they called? Ugh.
You loved all those pizza bites.
They were nasty.
Bagel bites.
Bagel bites. Yes.
You literally grew up on them.
Yes.
Oh my God. They're
that's
so
funny.
Good. You have to put them in the oven, though. In the microwave, they taste like garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Tip of the day. They get like soggy and stuff. Ugh.
She still eats them, by the way, guys.
I got the Trader Joe's version now.
Yeah, I don't like
She's them. Growing up.
But they're like not bagels. They're like little pizzas. Anyways, I think Sal will probably have kids before me. What do you guys think?
You don't know that.
Really?
My spiritual advisor said yes.
That Sal will before me? They said that to you?
Oh, not that. I'm sorry. Not that he'll
oh my
have
God.
Kids, but he's going to get married.
Before me?
Well, it's in a couple of years, so you have to hurry up.
I don't need to beat him. It's not a rush. No, I'm not. There's no. I'm not. I don't feel any sense of competition. Yeah.
So he's. They said 5 years for Sal.
Wow, that's soon.
He said he'll be 24, 25.
They did?
Yeah.
That's young. Because you. How old were you guys when you got married?
22.
I just,
just turned 22.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, you just turned 23.
Did I?
Yes.
Guys, that would be like me getting married this year.
Big announcement coming at the end of the pod. Brooke's getting married.
Yes. that's funny. Let's talk a little bit about me as a kid. A lot of people curious, which I just think is so funny. I feel like I've stayed on brand. I was.
Oh, you are the same person.
You're still crazier than. She was a good kid, though.
You were a very good kid. You definitely were. Like, you were able to have, like, your alone time. Like, you could keep yourself busy.
I still love
watching
it.
Blue's Clues or Barney. Like, you were good. Uh-huh. Like, you would able to set you up with, like, a task or, like, a
little. And we didn't have to worry that she was going to, like, you know, eat Legos, right. Like, if you turned around.
Yeah, you were actually.
No,
seriously?
Or really bike good. Down the stairs, like,
yeah.
Sal did.
Yeah. No, yeah, you weren't Evel Knievel. She really listened. If you told her to do something, she listened. Oh, yeah. Very rarely would you buck the system.
No, she was good.
I'm a very big rule follower. Even still in my life, like, I talked about that in a vlog. Like, if, for example, now masks, if you're not wearing masks, like, even if we're just like, it is so incomparable to me because I'm such a rule follower. Does that make sense?
I feel like I'm kind of like that too.
I think that we're all rule followers. Brooks definitely gets it probably a little bit more from.
Oh, and I'm so big on the morality thing. Like, I'm like, they were not following the rules, and it is like,
yeah. So you were answer it. Yes, you were always great. Always got good report cards. Always got great comments.
Gas me up.
The teachers always loved you. Like, it was never. It was pretty much you were on exactly what you see is what you get.
Interesting. But I was a little weird. I had my, like, weird.
No, you weren't weird.
Not weird.
You weren't into necessarily the things that I was into. Like, I was more of a sporting person.
Yeah.
And I tried to get you into sports and into soccer and lacrosse and whatever. And you tried them all. You did, like, jiu-jitsu for a while. And
Taekwondo. Master Che.
I said jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, it was Taekwondo.
Pretty similar, but. No. You did all that stuff, and you tried. You tried, but it wasn't your thing, and it doesn't really matter that it wasn't your thing. You know, at the time, it seemed like a big deal. Like, I wanted to. I remember. When I was driving home from work one day, and they have, like, the signs on the side of the road, like the big, like, it's like a little billboard that, like, the soccer club put out. And I'm like, oh, good. Soccer is going to be available.
You told this story.
She's like 3 to 5 years old or whatever. And they have soccer.
Yes.
Came home, and you and I were kicking the ball around in the backyard. Like, you were, like, spazzily, like, you know, having a catch, you know, like.
And they would always, like, they would be like, no, try to do it like this. And I'd be like, no. Like.
And I remember saying, you know, Brooke, this is good. I saw a sign on the way home from work, and it said that we're going to be able to sign up for soccer. And the next thing she's like, I'm not playing soccer. I go, no. It's going to be good. I'll be the coach and you'll, you know, be on the team. And she's like, no, I am not playing soccer. And I was like, wow, okay. And then I waited till lacrosse came around. And then you didn't want to play in the lacrosse league. So I signed you up for a
clinic.
It was a clinic. It was like a multi.
I had the pink head guard or what do they call it? Goggles?
Yeah, it's like goggles or something. And then I took you down there and it was funny because it was actually pretty widespread. It wasn't just like in our town. It was multiple towns had it because it was just for girls and it was just for that age group. And we would go there and I would see, you know, parents from like 3 towns away, whatever. And at the end of the clinic, when they would teach you different drills, they would actually have a game. And then, like, I remember watching you in the game, like, wherever the ball would be, there'd be like a whole, like, cluster of kids. And you would, and I'm like, where's Brooke? And I'm like trying to look in, and you know, it's almost like just they're all just like clumped together. And you would be like 20 yards away, like by yourself, like, just, like running around like a circle. I remember at first being like saddened by it, and then just like looking at it and laughing and saying, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, I would be like, she's just having a great time. You were literally almost playing your own game, but you were nowhere near what was going on.
I didn't want to get like a hit or anything. No, that was like,
it's not her thing. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I did theater, which.
No, it was good.
It changed my life. I mean, it made.
And you were good at it.
Was I?
Yeah, but the thing is,
it was decent.
The thing is, you have to try all these things, right?
Yeah.
You have to, because how would you know if you never tried that, if you never played an instrument? I mean, you played an instrument, you do all those things. Those are the things you're supposed to do.
True.
You know, you have to.
Daddy's just getting out of his therapy sessions for when you quit the violin.
He's like, I bought you that nice violin and you quit the next day.
No, I thought you were going to play the violin until you went to college, but.
That would have been really cool, but.
But you didn't listen to us.
You were good at it. You were smart and you were able to.
I was overwhelmed at that point, though, because I was doing choir and
yes, you would
the violin.
Have to give up class. Like,
it was
have
a
to
lot.
Give up an elective slot or something in
yeah.
high school.
And if you continue it into. Yeah, if you continue it into high school, it's like pretty. Well, then you start taking it for grades, and I was always big on my grades, and I was like, I don't want to get a flop grade in orchestra when I could be taking a business class or something. I just had other interests, I feel. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course, of course.
And it's one of those things, if your heart's not in it, there's no way that a parent can will you into doing it. If you have to kind of have some desire to do it.
I think
you're sunk. You're just going to do
true.
It. There's no heart.
But I think that's like a probably pretty good like something for this content for the podcast is.
Segway?
Yeah. Well, no. I think because I think it really wraps up this whole conversation, which is how do you know the difference between giving your child guidance and forcing them to do something.
I don't think you could force them to do anything.
Well, that's the point, but you have to.
You can't have no rules, though.
But you
we
can't,
just said.
Right? You have
no,
to have.
The... I mean, like as far as stuff like that, I don't.
No, so
I'm
let's
not a
let
believer
okay,
in that.
But let's state this. Let's state this.
Yeah,
Brooke did not just quit the violin, and it was like, you know, she made the announcement, and we were like, okay, sounds good. You know, what's for dinner? Like, no, it was a whole to do. There was many conversations.
Yeah.
We even like paused and then, you know, had another conversation the next day. It was a big, big thing.
Oh, it was a big thing.
And that, well, cause I had done it from fourth grade through eighth or whatever. So that's a long time.
No. And then I heard like, there was like murmurings around the house of, did you hear? Like mom, she'd be like, did you hear? Brooke's thinking of quitting the violin. I'm like, no, she's not going to quit the violin. She's going to be fine. She'll just whatever. Like maybe, because sometimes you go through these things where you're having like a lull in it. And
totally.
It's like, you know, you're just not enjoying. All right, it'll come around. And then like a couple of days later, I'm like, yeah. And then I heard you even mention it or something. And I go, oh boy, this isn't going well. And then, you know, just fast forward like 2 weeks and it's like, it's over. Like, you know, it's like, just finish out the season. And
uh-huh.
then you're like, no. And then you do.
But the point is that you did need to hear from us that we were disappointed in your decision. We weren't, and I even remember having this conversation with you. We weren't disappointed in you. We were disappointed in the decision that you were making. And that's exactly how we approached
it. But let's say this. So let's say that we use the word and we make her continue doing it. So let's say that, what year was that? Like how old were you? Ninth? Was that ninth?
No, I didn't do it in high school. This was in middle. So it was eighth grade or something.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say that we, you know, we make you continue doing it and you do it for another 2 years. What's the benefit for anybody?
I agree.
If you're going to do it for the next 2 years just to say that you did it till you were in 10th or you were in 11th grade, but you were miserable mm-hmm. doing it. What's the sense?
I agree.
And people make them do that. I know.
Yeah.
Do that, you know?
I remember my friends.
He's miserable. Hates it. Why are you doing it? You shouldn't hate it. I could see maybe being a little bit
disgruntled
and not loving it. Like, you know, I don't really love it, but I'm doing it. But
okay.
If you really are totally disheartened by it and you don't like it, why would you make anyone do anything that they really don't want to do that's that bad?
Mm-hmm. Especially when it is an extra thing. Like, it wasn't like it was.
Yeah, it was extracurricular. I mean, you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. We agree.
So that I think everybody finds their thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really love sports all that much.
But then it like pushed me into theater. I mean, I didn't even finish high school doing theater. I feel like, but for me, I was always doing something though. It's not like I was this kid that just sat
right
in my room. Like,
yes,
I feel like I was always busy,
always
and then I got
something.
A job, and then like,
you have to stay busy. But yeah, it's not healthy to not be busy.
Yeah, and to like sit around and like whatever.
Busy.
Pretty much all of my friends growing up had like a hobby at least. Like if it wasn't a sport, it was like something that they did on the side or like.
Do you know anyone that doesn't?
No, I feel like that was like your fear. Like that's why you were like pushing me to do things because you didn't want me to be this person who just.
Totally. And you wanted to just stay busy doing something, you know, other than your school, have something else that you can do. That's why when you were in your room and you were in, you know, seventh grade or whatever, and you started doing your I'll call them your videos and you're doing that stuff. I thought it was great. It wasn't my thing. But it was your thing and you were doing it. And it was like, no, this is what she does. And then that kind of spun into acting and doing all that other stuff that you did. And it was great. You had your thing and I thought it was fantastic. Now that doesn't work for everybody though. Not everybody wants to take that same road. Right?
Of course.
You have friends that weren't that don't like that, that didn't necessarily want, I'll call it, the limelight or to be out in front of people on a stage. I'm one of those people, but you know, everybody has their own way.
I completely agree with that. What would you, that's actually a really good question. I feel like we've talked about it a little bit of like what you thought of when I started doing videos and stuff like that. Cause if you guys didn't know, I've started just, I made like skits with my friends and like little music. No, it was like, honestly, that was my hobby for a while. They're like, right, I remember
totally.
Over the summer.
They were enjoyable.
Yeah. For the time. And I would be like, hey guys, like we're going to do this music video. I'll edit it. I'll upload it. Like you guys just have to be in it. Do you remember the skit of like the stalker or something?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. That was
legendary.
Of course. And I'm so friends with most of the people in them. So it's so fun to like look back and like laugh on them. What did you ever picture? Like if they would have told you like, oh, this will like what I'm doing now, like we're sitting here, we're podcasting. Like, would you ever have the foresight? Not that I guess that's sad because it's like, oh, did you believe in me? But
no, not that I didn't believe in you. I just didn't think that I just thought that was just like
a phase.
Yeah. Like a phase.
I think I saw it as becoming something, especially as you were still doing it in high school. Mm-hmm. I think I saw that it becoming something and then watching, you know, what was happening in the world and having become more and more popular. And I mean, let's face it, you were the right place at the right time.
I credit that to most of my success.
Right. But yeah, but that's, you know, like that's luck is definitely part of all success.
Yeah.
Don't you agree a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you kind of, you know, seize the opportunity of time, right?
Yeah.
I still think it's, what did you say before? It's a fad, not a fad. What did I say? Like, I still don't believe that this is like something that's going to go on even as we're doing this. Like,
I know.
Like the fact that you have like that this is like a career and that you're doing it is still amazing.
I know. I tell my dad, I'm like, oh, I'm doing this brand for what he's like this brand or whatever. And I tell him like the rate or whatever. He's like, oh my God. Like, it's not that you don't believe in me, but I understand.
No, I just, you know what it is, but I'm not somebody that's too like keyed into.
Truly.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I still don't even know about like Facebook and all that stuff. I just,
my dad doesn't have a Facebook.
It's not my deal. I don't.
Yeah. But I think also it's pretty amazing. I'm sure you have to experience this. Like when you talk to someone, you run into someone at the store and they're like, well, you know, how's Brooke? What is she up to? And it's like, you kind of have to explain it. It's like, and it just sounds like she's like, you know, what is she doing? She's floundering on the streets of New York City, begging for money, basically.
No, but if you don't get it, you don't get it. Like even explaining it now, grandma gets it and she watches my vlogs and everything, but trying to explain it to someone in that generation, I can't even imagine. We're just talking about my dad used to do it. We talked about typing classes the other day, mom. Cause
oh, yeah.
I just said, that's why I could type so fast. I'm like one of those people, you guys, that I'd type with like the home keys. Not many people do that, but I could type like super fast because of that. And I credit it to when I was in elementary school, they forced us, like it was part of the curriculum to do a computer class. And typing was part of it. But I asked Dad, I was like, did you guys do typing? And Sal was like, he definitely didn't. Like, they didn't have computers or whatever. And Dad said,
oh, we had a typing class, right? Didn't you have
I took typing, of course.
Yeah. It was an electric typewriter. Yeah.
The fact that you learned how to type, though, on an electric typewriter, and now we are, like, the world is so... And try to explain like to grandma, like that I'm making like money from people watching ads on my videos that I upload, that I like produce. Like it's so, I could understand how it wouldn't make sense to the person at the grocery store.
Yeah, they asked me about like the typing class and I said it was basically a classroom that had all electric typewriters, like 20 or 25 of them laid out. And I thought it was like the greatest thing because the typewriter that we actually had at home wasn't electric. So it was such a difference. And like, if I ever wanted to go and practice, which I never did, but we would almost play with this thing. It'd be in the basement, this typewriter. You would have to like smash the keys down. Like,
oh, see, my father had an electric typewriter.
I think
because he was a teacher. And assistant principal. But do you remember, I've told this story to you. Do you remember, because we were in different schools. Do you remember
how we
would have to take the,
an elementary,
take tests for the typing class?
No.
Oh, so it would be a timed test. So it was a timed test.
Ours was like a computer program.
They would give you like a paragraph and you have to finish the paragraph with the least amount of errors. And like I sat all the way in the back, of course, because, you know, I was cool. And I'm joking.
She's a troublemaker.
Exactly. Oh, totally. And literally was, you know, I thought I would be able to get away with starting the test early. And, you know, the teacher, like, stopped. And she's like, who's typing?
That's funny.
Who's typing in the back of the room? And it was like,
room?
Yeah. She had an accent. Mrs. Ader. And it was like, of course it was me, like, cheating already, like, starting.
You were like, if I just could get ahead.
Yes, if I could just get a jump start on this.
That's funny.
I've been hearing that story for the last 30 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Actually, that's the one time I was a rule follower, never got in trouble, but I was sitting next to one of my friends in computer class, and I think we were talking or something. The teacher was very straight and narrow. Like, he had meant no funny business, but I respect it now because, once again, like, I know how to type. But I remember we were joking around, and all of a sudden our computers just go black, and he looks at us, and he motions with the finger for us to, like, come over. He's like, do you guys know why I shut off your computers? Like, he did it because he was like and we
didn't know this.
Yeah,
that was my music teacher. Do you remember his name? But I remember
Mr.
it was like
Lapina.
Yes, he was actually, when I was in elementary school, I think when I was in elementary school and I played the trombone for a short time, he was the music guy.
Wow. And then he went to computers. Yeah. That's a 180.
I just remember that because I remember you telling me the story when.
So hold on, go back to what was your answer when he said, "Do you know why I turned off your?"
I was like, "No," and he was like, "You guys are joking around or whatever," and I was like, "No, I wasn't. I was just talking." Like, I think he thought we were like insulting him or what. Like, I don't know if it was his, whatever. People got in trouble on that though because he was very like serious.
Oh, I've seen him. I remember seeing him literally throw a trombone across.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was scary.
He was so scary.
You know your lessons. I've literally seen him launch a trombone across a room, like smash into the wall. And I was like, wow.
He was definitely scary. I think Sal had him too then because he was in the district for a while.
That was a long career he had.
We used to play it was like a set typing, like, but ours obviously was digital. Like, we had computers, but it was a set typing like game. So it'd be like, you know, type. Yeah, it started out simple, of course, like type H 10 times, but then you would have to type like Harry has a blah, 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 like, and it would be certain things. Yeah. But I'm thankful for it now. I wonder because like the certain things in curriculums that I wonder if they're not going to, Sal's in the room now, the whole family. I wonder if they're going to take out like script. Like, people will keep wondering, you know, because they're still teaching like, is that what it's called?
Cursive.
Like, stuff like that.
They still teach that?
Sal, did they teach you script? Like, cursive?
Sal, did you learn script in school?
Slightly, yeah.
What does that mean? Does that mean they taught it, but you just didn't pay attention?
No, they taught it, but I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if, like, things like that they'll replace with more modern... because computers are so, like... Even back then, it was like the generation, like, we were getting more into it. But keep in mind, obviously, when I was in elementary school and stuff, social media didn't exist at all. I got Instagram when I was a sophomore in high school, I remember, or freshman maybe, because I remember I was with my friend Casey and we downloaded it and we were like playing around with the filters and stuff. Full circle.
Yeah, it seems like that's going to be something that's going to go away. It just seems like that with the computer and who's writing like that.
Yeah.
Writing in.
Though I love it.
It does look really nice when somebody does it, though. I have to say, I just do it. It looks like chicken scratch.
Me too.
When you see somebody that does it, it's like, it's almost like art.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
I have the worst penmanship.
Well, we all do.
Brooks is really
I'm
bad.
Definitely.
And Sal's right behind it. Yeah, we're a family of poor
like
penmanship.
Put them in their feet.
Yes.
And they.
My signature looks like
it's
that.
It's really bad. Yeah.
But that's why I'm just thankful that I can type fast, though.
Yeah, but
so.
Do you really need it? I mean, it's not holding you back at all, obviously.
I mean, no. I mean, if I had a job where I had to, like, I guess write a lot, but I do most of my writing via the computer, so it's not really a problem. A few more questions on the pod, because people want to know. Do you listen to every episode of the pod? I know Mom has an answer.
I don't. I let Mom filter through them, and then she tells me which ones to listen
okay.
to. Only
okay.
Only because, let me just say this. I know it sounds horrible because you are my daughter, but, like, they're very girly. And as much as
totally.
I love you and I'm into
totally.
It and all that stuff, sometimes I'm listening, I'm like, I almost don't even know what you're talking about. Like,
I get it.
About, like, am I horrible? For
no.
No,
if we're talking
actually,
about, like, what color
you,
we're dyeing our hair and our nails,
I'm actually, so I think that... when you started to come around a little bit more this fall, I kind of fell off the pods because we're together all the time.
Mm.
Like, you know, most of the time when I was really like every week listener, number one, I was traveling. So I would listen to it in the car.
And you were a gal on the go.
Right. I was a total gal on the go. Or number two, I was missing you.
Oh,
now
so
I'm
it's
not
nice.
Missing you because
I need to make you miss me more, I guess.
Now we need a break.
Yeah. Now she's going, she has to go back to the city tomorrow and we're planning the party.
No.
Just kidding. No, we're joking, of course. Calm down. Sal, it starts at 12. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. No,
oh my
I'm kidding.
Gosh.
I'm totally kidding. No, but it is true. So, no, I don't listen as much, but I do.
I'm surprised.
I know.
You catch up, though. You'll catch up like 3 weeks later, though. Yeah.
Because I'll see her, like, putting on her makeup. And,
yeah.
Like, what is she doing? And she's, like, mom will be putting on her makeup, and she has, like, you know, her phone out, and she's uh-huh. listening to it, yeah. whatever. And
I appreciate it.
Brooke comes upstairs a lot of times. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, listening to the pod.
What, do you skip the ads? You don't, right?
I never skip the ads, ever. There's a couple reasons. Number one, I would never skip an ad if it was you, because I actually think that you read ads so well that
very
it
good,
brings
yeah.
it brings me like this sense of pride.
Thank you, Mom.
You're well spoken, and actually, sometimes I learn. Like the whole idea is that you learn.
You're sold,
right? I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't know about that. I also don't skip the ads because way back when you made a big deal of telling me that you don't get paid. Unless, like, this is for your YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously not podcast. You don't get paid unless you watch the ads. So I watch and listen to the ads. How about you?
Yeah, they're good. They're usually enjoyable.
Who has time to press the button? And
I know.
Fast
I wouldn't even really know, like, what do you do? Like, I feel like sometimes that's
more of a that's more difficult than just listening through it.
Yeah, it's almost disabled, I feel like, on certain things where you can't fast forward through
There's
ads.
Like a 15-second button. I will say for some podcasters that are really ad heavy, I do skip. We can't tell if they skip. Not that I'm encouraging it. Sometimes I agree. My favorite podcast, I listen to the ads because I'm like, if they're endorsing these products, they must be pretty good.
I feel the same way. So like I have my guy podcast that I listen to, and when they break into a commercial, I'm like, oh my God, I got to change this. I got to fast forward. I just say, all right, he's reading. And
it's how you get free content.
Yeah. And I also feel like, okay. And also maybe it's like some way that he's getting compensated for doing the cast and giving everybody all this enjoyment. Like he should be.
I completely agree.
Compensated somehow.
And can I just say, you are like a throwback with Howard Stern. You are a massive ad listener.
Dad is a big Howard Stern fan.
He's a big Howard Stern guy, and he listens to those ads, and he's always chiming in and saying, oh, what about, you know, I don't know, like a wacky brand. And I'll be like, where did you hear this? It had to have been on Howard Stern. Like, yeah.
But how many of those things yes. or ads has he done that I have bought or purchased? I feel like, okay, if that person's endorsing the product, it must be pretty good.
Yeah, because I can't imagine that Howard Stern is just, you know, being like, oh, if they pay me, I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because his image and likeness is worth a shit ton more than what they're going to pay him.
Yeah.
Don't you feel?
I completely agree. Yeah. And we do say no. Like, that's the
totally.
Big thing. I mean, you guys know with like YouTube and whatever, like you obviously, yeah, money's on the table, but at the same time, it is your reputation. So if you're endorsing something and it's like this whack product or something, yeah, completely agree. Life advice for someone in their 20s. I feel like I've asked you guys both this separately, but I feel like, Dad, you're big on like, my dad's very wise.
Thank you.
So are you, Mom, but I feel like Dad is like, he'll say something and I'll be like, whoa, that was like really good, versus you, Mom. I feel like every day you like
she just yeah. talks a lot more.
Yeah. Do you have a like, it doesn't need to be like a specific like quote or anything, but just if someone's listening, they're in their 20s, because that's like our demo.
I don't know, I'll let Mom go for and let me think about it a little bit.
No, I really don't have any advice, honestly. I feel for this generation. I feel for the generations coming up. I feel for even the 20s. I think that it's harder than it was when we were
you
in
think?
Our 20s, without a doubt. Again, like you didn't have to, you didn't know where someone was.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have your feelings hurt. If everyone was getting together and you weren't there, you
yeah.
didn't see pictures of it the next morning when you woke up and like at a, you know, everyone was at a party and you weren't there. You didn't know if your parent or someone who answered the house phone didn't tell the person that was calling where you were, you had no idea. True or not true?
No, it's true.
And it was awesome.
No, it's true.
So my advice is I feel for you guys. I don't have advice.
That was bleak. That
was... Well, because I feel like
you're like, well, it sucks. Like
no, like because you're doing a better. I should say, okay, let me finish the thought. You're doing a better job of navigating your way through it because I'm not doing that. I don't have to do that.
I always go back to just hard work. I think hard work, regardless of what it is, if you're in your community of podcasting and social media. Or you're an electrician, or you want to be a fireman or a policeman, or you want to be an engineer, whatever you want to do, hard work, hard work. And the one saying that I've heard that I like to say all the time now, and it really applies to you, it applies to athletes, it applies to anybody. The harder I work, the luckier I got. Mm. And that to me is like a life slogan.
I like that.
Yes, we heard it like this year. Right? I got it as like a fortune, and I was like, oh my God, this is... the facts.
It's so true.
It's totally the facts.
No, luck doesn't just happen.
Yeah, nobody.
I know. They
there's
don't,
no free passes here. There's no, like, nobody is like super successful in anything in life if they didn't work hard and or fail multiple times. And you have to be afraid not to fail. And that's the hardest part, to like set yourself up to fail again, right. Potentially.
Yeah, that's why I like documentaries and like autobiographies on people that you read, and you really read of their struggle and how much work they put into things, and how it's just, you know, what seems to be like an overnight sensation. Or
yeah, people gloss over the failures so much. Yeah,
never is.
I say that to people when people say like, I want to start a YouTube channel. Like, how do I like get your level of success in like 10 years? Like,
nice. Yeah, like for me, it's like Michael Jordan. They talk about Michael Jordan, you know, arguably the best basketball player ever. You know, he was cut from like his high school team.
Is that so
Babe
wild?
Ruth, who was at one time the leading home run hitter. Not that I'm a big baseball fan.
Uh-huh.
But he also like led in strikeouts. So it's like you...
I remember that. When I used to like do theater, I would like look up stuff like that to motivate me because I never got cast in like in my high school productions, which were pretty big. I never got like leading roles or anything like that. And I was always just like so discouraged. And I remember I always used to say like, it was so dumb, but like I would always be like, oh, like someday I'm going to like make a name for myself. Like my big thing was like, I'm going to be on TV or something someday. So I feel like I really manifested that for myself.
Yeah. I mean, but then the reality was sometimes, and this might be hurtful to you, is that I know that sometimes you would come back and Mom and I would think the world of you and that you were the best, but then you'd come back and you'd be like, yeah, such and such got the lead part or person got this part. A lot of times it's, what is the word that they have for that? When it's...
They're better? Politics?
Politics, right. But then there are those times when it's just like, yeah, that other person is just...
They're better.
Better than you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that was the case. You know, there was just somebody that was more meant to be the lead or whatever. And that's...
Totally. It was... I'm not saying that, like, oh my gosh, I was a star, I was a talent. Like, I simply wasn't that great. But it always would motivate me, like, seeing those stories and whatever, of, like, that work... That
but,
work
but
puts
again,
in
putting
the,
yourself out there. And that's really... Putting yourself out there, right? Like when Brooke went to that sleepaway camp and those productions that they would put on, and
we would have to audition in front of
an audition, but what an audition without being able to talk to your parents.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't talk to you for like
the first week or two. You weren't allowed to talk to us while you were auditioning and dealing with that struggle. Like,
but
you,
all the kids were in the same situation.
I know.
Yes,
but then we would go to sleep and like, it would like those nights, like when we didn't know, like the first like few days or whatever. Oh my gosh, I remember. I was so nervous.
I bet.
I don't even know how I memorized those monologues. Like now looking back, I'm like, how the heck did I do that? Like genuinely, my brain doesn't have like those memorization capabilities, I feel like, anymore.
That was super impressive.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of just hard work. Hard work for young kids. Just work hard. Stay busy.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a dying art of just, you know, put your nose to the grindstone and, and
yeah, don't expect things to just go your way unless you put in the work. Yeah.
I agree.
Like for me, I mean, again, I'll bring it back to the fire department. Like when I had to study for, like to be a lieutenant, I didn't have to say I chose to do this. It was a great undertaking for me because I was a horrible student. I didn't even know how to study. Like when we went to school, I was just kind of I was almost like a goofball. I didn't...
People asked about college, actually, and you didn't finish college.
We talked about this last time. And I said how I was, you know, so then now fast forward to having two kids, studying to get promoted to lieutenant. But in order for me to get promoted, I had to have a certain amount of college credit. So I had to study for the test, study for this. And so I put a lot on my plate, but it was like, it was just, all right, I just have to study, study, study. I had to study for everything that I did. I had to study so hard. I had to overstudy because I wasn't good at it. So I'm like, you know what? If I'm not really good at it, let me just do it a lot and let me just try and figure this out. And it was just kind of like, and that's what worked for me. And I would talk to other guys that were doing this, that were studying and doing the same thing. And they all had different ways of doing it, but everything was just based on put the time in and, you know, you get the results will come out the other end. So it's just.
That was motivational. Yeah. I know mom feels the same way with her work and everything. I mean, mom's like is extreme. Like when mom does TV stuff, like she goes back and like watches and critiques herself. You got me into that now. I listen back to my podcast and I'll critique myself.
And nobody likes to do it.
No, it's not good.
If you like to listen to yourself or watch yourself back, then I would almost say, dare I say something's wrong with
you? Well, you're a nurse.
Like, but you have to. It, you will get better. You will get better that way.
Because you when you started.
It's like mom, though. Let's just take her, for instance. She's been doing what she's doing for so long. She's been on TV selling these products and doing this stuff for so long. So she's really, I mean, she's an
expert
pro, you know? And it's not like if somebody come look at her and say, wow, she's really good at that. She might not have started out that way, but after so many years and being critical of herself and putting the hard work in, that's how she is. And it's the same with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't something like you just picked up the microphone yesterday and you started doing this. I mean, you're talking about almost a lifetime of doing it. You've been doing it since.
I mean, 12 or 13,
yeah,
right?
So
younger,
like
maybe
seventh grade to do this. So it's not like, you know, somebody just waved a magic wand over you and then all of a sudden you were like good at it. You put a lot of time and effort into it. You have to put in your hours. Howard Stern always says it's like, what, the 10,000 hours? If that's like a known thing. If you look it up, like 10,000 hours, that's how long it takes to perfect whatever it is that you're
wow.
going to do. And you need to put that many hours into something. That's what it's known. He just professes that, but it's not his theory. It's something that's out there. And it's 10,000 hours is what makes somebody a professional in whatever their craft is.
Huh.
Look it up. It's actually true. 10,000 hours, that's a long time.
I know, because you see people like people write on like their Instagrams, no shade by the way, but just to put into perspective how many 10,000 is, like people will be like 500 hour like yoga certification or whatever it is. And even that, I'm like, wow, 500 hours is like kind of like that's like doing it like 500 days in a row. Like that's over a year. But 10,000.
So what is 10,000 hours? Like what if you took, you know, if you did something for 8 hours a day, for how many years would that be? I'm going to assume it's like 10 years, right?
Let me look. If it's just in days, like I think if you, not even counting whatever,
years, right?
it's 416 days.
Yeah.
But that's if you did it every hour. So it.
No.
If you did it 8 hours.
Yeah, I'm saying like if it was a job.
If you did an 8 hour day of it, it's 1,250 days. And if you divide that by how many?
365.
But divide that by 365, then it's 3.5 years, and that's not even anything.
But that's saying you're doing it 8 hours a day.
That's
talking
about your full-time job.
Let's say after your job, you wanted to do something at night for 2 hours every night.
Right. So it can take you. So it's going. The point.
It would take 10 to 12
listen, all of this comes. All this just comes back to it, and I think maybe that is a little bit what's lacking in the generations that are coming up, which is. Things don't just get, I mean, sure, there are those isolated cases where people get lucky, they get handed down family businesses, but that's exactly, or, you know, any of that is totally different. The reality is, if you want to be good at what you're doing, you have to work at it.
Totally.
Well, that was inspirational. I feel like that was a positive way to end this. I cannot thank you guys so much. I cannot thank you guys so much. I cannot thank you guys enough. For joining me, I brought it up to them. I was like, would you guys both like to be on? And they so kindly agreed. So thank you.
Yes, my pleasure.
We really enjoy having you guys on. So much fun. I would say plug yourself, but my dad has no social media. So
you can find me anywhere, exactly.
Literally. Yeah. Actually, you wanted to make like an Instagram with like not an alias. But
I might have an Instagram. I might have signed on to it or something.
Not, nothing posted.
Oh, he has a Twitter.
You can't. Don't follow him on Twitter.
I don't know that I have a.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
One time you tweeted, you're like, "Can you help me? Like, I want to tweet to Sal's coach or something." Yeah. I was like, "What are you doing?"
I'm like, "You don't tweet." He's like, he'll be like, "So and so tweeted at me." I'm
he
like,
doesn't no, say
he
that.
Tweeted at the world. Not
he says
you.
It. Like, this person tweeted at me. I'm like, "What are you talking?" No, he doesn't know like the sayings for it and whatnot. I think it's very modern that you're on Twitter and possibly Instagram, but
no,
you don't have Facebook
cool.
or anything.
Some of those things are good. I almost just want to look at it, but I don't want people to look at me.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to be a viewer.
He's a private guy.
Yeah. You're on Ancestry. We did that recently. I got that for one of his gifts, even though we knew like what it would be already. But it's so cool because it connects you. Like it is. I've like messaged with possibly extended family members. That's like a form of social media. Mm. Yeah.
And we're part Cyprus.
We're like still decoding the yeah. what it is.
Because Uncle Mike, actually, I was at work one day and he texts me and he's like, you know, what is your thing? And he gave me like the breakdown of what he was. And he was like, he was like part like Cyprus too. I'm like, what is Cyprus? I never even heard of it.
But only like 1 or 2%.
No, he was more. He was like, I think if I'm 10, he was maybe 5.
Wow.
I don't know how it could be off, but whatever. It was close. I mean, it put us in the same
lineage
of people. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cool to me because my dad and I both have done it separately. And it's like, your parent / child's on, like, I don't know how the DNA, like, it must be so close, but yeah,
it's really amazing.
It's amazing.
It's so technical. Anyways, don't find us on Ancestry, because, no. But you can find my mom on social media.
Yes.
She's at Adina Michio on everything. We'll link in the show notes. Thank you guys so much again for being on. Happy holidays, everyone, right?
Oh, yes.
Happy holiday.
Yes. And a healthy, healthy, healthy yes. new year.
Love you guys. Bye.